For WFHB in Bloomington, this is Hereabouts,
a collaboration with the IU Asian Culture Center.
Hello, you are currently listening to Hereabouts, Asian American Midwest Radio, with Indiana University's Asian Culture Center in collaboration with WFHB. This is Hiba Bhatt, and I am with my fellow producers Joyce Lam and Elise Lee. To begin, March is Women's History Month, so for this episode, we will focus on influential Asian women.
Women's History Month was first nationally celebrated in 1981 when Congress passed a law which allowed the president to proclaim the first week of March as Women's History Week. In the following years, particularly from 1988 to 1994, Congress passed additional declarations that authorized the president to make March of each year Women's History Month. Since 1995, Presidents Clinton, Bush, and Obama have created a series of annual programs designating the month of March to be Women's History Month.
As Hiba mentioned before, we will be highlighting important and influential Asian American women throughout history. These are women who we first heard about through an article published on Medium.com, written by Erina Kim Eubanks, titled, quote, 10 AAPI Women You Should Know, But I've Never Heard Of, end quote. To begin, Afam Moy is the first known Chinese woman to arrive in the U.S. She was only 19 when she arrived, and she immediately began working for the Karn brothers and their business venture. She was able to show off Chinese culture while also selling Chinese goods for their business. Unfortunately, the time period when she arrived was in the 19th century, so most of her performances were exoticized for being quote-unquote Oriental. For example, she would use chopsticks to eat and show off her bound feet. The dehumanizing way that she was put on display exotified her culture in aspects that we can still see in effect today, like the tiger woman stereotype and fetishization of Asian culture that is seen as exotic in the West.
The second woman we will be highlighting is Mine Okubo, who was a Japanese-American artist and author born in Riverside, California, who recorded what she saw, felt, and endured while she was living in a Japanese internment camp during World War II. Born to Japanese immigrants, she received a master's degree in art from UC Berkeley and was working with the Works Progress Administration in San Francisco when the bombing of Pearl Harbor happened. Due to the passing of Executive Order 9066, she and other members of her family were forced into internment for 2 years. She and her brother were sent to live in an assembly center in San Bruno, California, for almost a half year in a former horse stall, before being relocated to the Topaz Relocation Center in the Utah Desert for 2 years. Her famous book, Citizen 13660, which was named after the number that was assigned to her family unit, contains text and 206 drawings from her experience in the camps, where she recorded everything in sketches, drawings, and paintings because photographs were not permitted at the time. Later on in her life, she worked as a freelance illustrator and later resumed painting full-time. She remained an artist until her death in 2001. One quote that I think truly describes Okubo is something she said personally. To quote her, she says, "To me, life and art are one and the same, for the key lies in one's knowledge of people and life. In art, one is trying to express it in the simplest imaginative ways, and in the art of past civilizations, for beauty and truth are the only two things which live timeless and ageless," end quote.
Susan Ann Cuddy was born in Los Angeles in 1915 to the first Korean couple to ever emigrate to the United States. Her home in Los Angeles, which was known as the Ann House, had become a refuge for many Korean immigrants, including many exiled Korean patriots who fought against the Japanese occupation of Korea. After the bombing of Pearl Harbor in 1941, she became the first Asian American woman to join the U.S. Navy, serving as a trainer of pilots, a gunnery officer, and eventually a code breaker. This was during a time of anti-Asian sentiment due to the bombing of Pearl Harbor. Yet, Cuddy continued to excel in the military forces as she continued in the code-breaking craft in Washington after the war for Naval Intelligence and the NSA, and rose in leadership even to the disdain of many of her white male colleagues. She continued to work even after retirement as she spoke frequently at Navy functions and Korean-American community events. Susan Ann Cuddy passed away in 2015 at the age of 100.
The next woman we will be talking about is Carter Dillon, who was born in 1915 to immigrant parents from South Asia. They lived together in Simi Valley while fighting for many causes. For example, her parents founded the Goddard Party, which was for Indian independence from British colonization. Carter Dillon herself was also politically active in movements such as the Goddard Party, the Korean Reunification Movement, the Black Panther Party, and the Farmer Workers Movement. With her activism, she worked a variety of odd jobs, including being a waitress, truck driver, and secretary for the city of San Francisco. In 1989, she wrote an autobiography titled, quote, Paraspeak, end quote, which received a Lifetime Achievement Award from the Punjabi American Heritage Society and was included in Distinguished Asian Americans, a biographical dictionary.
I will now be speaking about Patsy Mink, who was the first woman of color and the first Asian American elected to Congress's House of Representatives. Mink was born in Hawaii to second-generation Japanese-American parents, making her a third-generation Japanese-American. She has had a long history of leadership in her life. She was the first Japanese-American to be president and valedictorian of her high school, and was elected president of the unaffiliated students of the University of Nebraska, where she actively lobbied the university to end segregation policies. Mink was also a very educated woman for her time. She attended the University of Hawaii with hopes of attending medical school, where she graduated with a degree in zoology and chemistry. In 1948, 20 of the medical schools she applied to would not accept women, so she decided to attend law school instead in order to change the judicial process that would allow women to attend any school of their choice and stop gender discrimination. Mink graduated from the University of Chicago Law School with a law degree in 1951. In 1965, she became the first Asian American woman and the first woman of color to be elected to Congress. She is also credited with pursuing the Democratic Party to continue their progressive stances on civil rights and desegregation in the 1960s. She delivered a State of the Union response in 1970, becoming the first Democratic woman to do so, and in 1972 became the first Asian American woman to seek the presidential nomination of the Democratic Party. Additionally, in 1972, she stood in the Oregon primary as an anti-war candidate. She is known for introducing comprehensive early childhood education policies and authoring Title IX, which bans gender discrimination in federally funded education. President Obama awarded her a posthumous Presidential Medal of Freedom on November 24, 2014.
Currently listening to Hereabouts, Asian American Midwest Radio with Indiana University's Asian Culture Center in collaboration with WFHB. Producers Hiba Butt, Joyce Lam, and Elise Lee are speaking about influential Asian American women in honor of Women's History Month. Up next on this list are Mei Chen and Kapala Chawla. Following our discussion about Chawla, we will feature Asian American artist Michelle Zahner, who goes by her stage name Japanese Breakfast. Despite her stage name, Zahner is of Korean American descent. Japanese Breakfast dabbles in the genres of indie rock and pop, experimental pop, and lo-fi music. We will play Machinist and Soft Sounds from Another Planet. Both are singles from Japanese Breakfast's album, Soft Sounds from Another Planet.
Further, we will speak about Mei Chen, who is a Chinese-American labor organizer, activist, and advocate for immigrant workers. She was born and raised in the suburbs of Boston, but moved to New York City in 1979, where she was working for the Chinese Committee of Local 6 and had witnessed the 1983 garment workers' strike in New York City's Chinatown. Chen was later inspired by the movement and joined the International Ladies Garment Workers Union in 1983 and worked on immigration projects that assisted thousands of ILGWU members apply for citizenship. Throughout her career, Chen had helped over 20,000 garment factory workers demanding work contracts, higher wages, improved working conditions, and fairness and respect from their employers. Her work caused employers to hold back on wage cuts and withdraw their demands that workers give up holiday and benefits, paving the way for better working conditions for many groups of immigrant workers. She also worked with other labor organizations, serving on the Asian Labor Committee of the New York City Central Labor Council, the National Executive Board of the Coalition of Labor Union Women, and as an officer and founding member of the AFL-CIO's Asian Pacific American Labor Alliance, APALA for short. She went on to become International Vice President of the Unite Here, manager of the ILGWU Local 2325, and secretary of the New York Metropolitan Area Joint Board.
The last woman we will speak about for this episode is Kalpana Chawla, who was the first Indian American woman to be an astronaut to go into outer space. She studied aeronautical engineering from the Punjab Engineering College and then moved to the U.S. to study aerospace engineering further at the University of Texas, Arlington. There she received two master's degrees and a PhD in 1988. After graduating, she worked at NASA doing research for a few years, then became a U.S. citizen and applied to be an astronaut. Her first mission was in 1996, and her second trip was in 1997 on the Space Shuttle Columbia to be a mission specialist and a robotic arm operator. Unfortunately, during her 2003 mission, the Columbia Space Shuttle combusted upon re-entry, and her, along with her crew, had died. She was awarded the Congressional Space Medal of Honor, along with many streets and institutions being named in her honor posthumously.
The song that just played was Soft Sounds by Another Planet by Japanese Breakfast. We will now feature another Asian American artist by the name of Mitski. We will feature another two singles. First is Nobody, followed by First Love, Late Spring.
My God, I'm so lonely, so I open the window to hear sounds of people, to hear sounds of people. Venus, planet of love, was destroyed by global warming. Did its people want too much too? Did its people want too much?
That concludes our episode for this week's episode of Hereabouts, Asian American Midwest Radio with Indiana University's Asian Culture Center in collaboration with WFHB. Be sure to check out the AAPI Heritage Month opening reception on March 27th from 4 to 6 p.m. in the University Club Presence Room. Thank you for listening to this week's episode. Hereabouts airs every Wednesday from 5:30 to 6 p.m.
You've been listening to Hereabouts with the IU Asian Culture Center, broadcast by WFHB in Bloomington. Our theme music is by Eternal Youth. Tune in to Hereabouts every Wednesday from 5:30 to 6 p.m.